Hi, everyone. Welcome back to The Way We Nerd. We are sans one nerd tonight, even though I saw his car parked in the parking lot.
I think they carpooled to Van Morrison.
Who's they?
Him, Dave, I don't know who else.
Oh, they went to a concert tonight. Okay, never mind. All right.
So, here's what Josh was going to do. Josh had a birthday party he was
That's
going
to. That's what I thought he was doing.
They found out Van Morrison and Tom Jones are at the Hollywood Bowl.
Tom Jones, the not unusual guy?
Yes. Yep. I assume Carlton's going to be there.
I would hope so.
And he decided, you know what? I'm going to ditch all of my responsibilities tonight.
Yep.
And get $10 tickets in the back row to Van Morrison.
Yeah, that doesn't... Yeah. Okay. Well, I hope you're
good
having...
riddance.
I hope you're having fun, Josh Moorhead, because we'll probably make fun of you a lot tonight. So, I am Danny Villalobos, and diagonally from me, since...
We're the Yorg. Resistance is futile.
Yorg?
Well, there's two Joshes, and since he's not here...
Oh, the Yorg.
We're going to be the Yorg.
I get it.
And also, since he's not here, this is a whole thing we've been wanting to do for a while as an introduction.
Yorg?
And I just did it without him. Yeah, like Borg.
That sounds
or
Swedish.
The Swedish. It's the Swedish Borg.
You probably should have
waited
if he was here.
Which is,
now
you know what?
Right?
No, because he doesn't get it. He gets to do it second now because he's not here. He misses out.
That's what she says in First Contact. Borg sounds Swedish.
That's right. She does say that. Yes, she does say that. So, by the way, we're still in the introductions.
We are.
That's Joshua Potter who said that. Across from him.
Kyle Bowne.
There you go. We're creating a little triangle here, literally. It's
the tripod of...
There is no triangle. There is only the
triples.
Or Zool. There's only Zool.
Or Zool. You know, it's funny. We're not going to dwell too much on this. When we were talking about favorite episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, the last pod or two pods?
And Moorhead's eyes glazed over.
Yeah,
all
that was
kind of
funny.
I
just wanted to mention, I totally forgot my sentimental favorite of that show is actually two of them. They're two Q episodes.
Mm-hmm.
One
mm-hmm.
where he goes back and he makes sure Picard like doesn't get stabbed in the heart,
mm-hmm.
so his future changes and he becomes like a science officer instead of a captain.
Yeah,
because he was too reckless.
Yes, and because he has that great
never learned his lesson.
That great moment when John Delancey comes in the room and goes, "Flowers for a Jean-Luc Pickard." And then and the other one was another Q one, is when the Q turned Q into human.
Yes.
Yep. And he calls Worf a Romulan, and that pisses Worf off so much. It's so funny. Anyway, sorry. I didn't want to dwell on that. I just want to mention, because when we talk Next Generation, I can't believe I didn't talk about Q at all, because he's one of Star Trek's best baddies. And one day we could probably spend a few minutes on him. But
there was just really quick,
anecdote.
There was this show, Greek, that was on ABC Family for like four seasons.
I remember that show. Yeah.
I really liked it.
I always wanted to watch it.
The nerdy dude would fall asleep listening to the Bible as read by John Delancey.
Ah, nice.
And they would talk about it. He's like, it's Q reading the Bible.
Nice. Well, John Delancey's had two very important roles in two very important shows to Kyle Bowne. He was also in Breaking Bad.
Yes, he was.
That was probably one of the most tense 2 or 3 minutes I have ever seen on television when he's reacting to his daughter's death and crashing those planes. Spoilers!
The way they tied...
What?
Yeah.
If you haven't seen Breaking Bad yet, fuck you.
Without Josh here, there is no script.
Yeah, we're just going to go everywhere.
This is going to be a true nerd conversation where we just jump from thing to thing.
Yep.
Just tangentially.
I like that
But
idea.
That season, that second season of Breaking Bad, I loved all of it. But the most impressive thing about that season is how impeccably put together it was.
Yes.
How you had that bit at the beginning of the first episode with, you know, the wreckage of the plane crash, and you had no idea where it was going. And then you get to the end of the season, you finally know this is a plane crash, and this happened because of all of this series of events that culminated in Walter White letting her
die.
Choke on her own vomit.
Kristen Ritter, Jessica Jones.
In order to, I'm sure Walt told himself, save Jesse, but in reality, to save himself.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that. I didn't even get that from that shot. What I got that from that scene was that was the moment we realized, oh, Walter White's just a bad fucking person. Like, he's not even trying to convince himself anymore at that point. He's like, this is going to affect my business. I'm going to let this chick die.
No, I think he was trying to convince
himself. That look on his face.
There was a point in that conversation in that writer's room, from what I've read, where the plan was that she was going to start coughing, and he was going to turn her onto her back. So she choked to death. That he was going to basically murder her.
He was murdering. Whereas this one,
instead of a murder of omission.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to deep into the legality of this stuff, but is that something you can get in trouble for?
For inaction? In Seinfeld, it is.
The Good Samaritan Law?
Yeah. And this is how nerds talk.
And this is how nerds talk, yes.
Without the Seinfeld.
Without the time bully around, tapping his watch. Or the conductor. We'll call him the conductor because he keeps us running. Ooh. He keeps us running on time.
He's Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So.
So
stuff.
What do we have
things
on the docket for this week?
And life.
We'll hold off on Star Wars until the end of the pod.
Yeah.
But why? We could talk about it the whole pod.
That's the problem.
That's why. I know.
Okay. Well, let's just run through some things real quick then. Luke Cage. I finished it. I know you guys haven't. We can't have a huge discussion on it yet, but binge watched it. It's fantastic. I don't know if it's my personal favorite of the three so far.
Wow, you're racist.
I'm not. However,
why do you hate black people, Potter?
However, no, it's as far as being a solid show that is topical and current for the times we are living in, it excels. Like, oh man,
that's what I understand. Like,
it's so good.
I understand. Like, it's not like the experience of it is not. It doesn't feel like it's trying to be a black show or anything. It's just
it
just happens to have a lot of black actors, and it's an experience of the African American community in New York.
There's Queens
to be exact, right? Or he's in Hell's Kitchen.
No, he's in Harlem.
In Harlem.
It's all set in Harlem. Yeah.
Hell's Kitchen isn't so bad anymore.
No, but Harlem is border Hell's Kitchen. I mean
I've always been confused on where Hell's Kitchen is exactly.
Hell's Kitchen is kind of...
It's an area, right? That's not
It's not a
borough.
Like
it's
well, no, there's all of these, like, sub-areas.
Yeah.
Because it's the borough... Like the boroughs are Manhattan, Brooklyn,
Queens,
mm-hmm. Long Island, or no, Long Island one?
I don't know if that really counts as a borough. Well,
I always lose the last
just
two.
So far out.
The last two is the always ones I always forget. The Bronx.
Bronx.
The Bronx, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if we'll
I think Hell's Kitchen's in Manhattan.
It is, yeah.
And Manhattan's like the nicest borough, right?
I mean, the main part of the city. Yeah.
Long Island is where all the rich people live.
Yeah, but like
where friends live.
I mean, but there's you can sort of it's a little like San Francisco in that if you turn the wrong corner, it suddenly things shift.
Yeah, but San Francisco to a T.
When Kane and I went to New York over 4th of July, like we went, we had dinner in Hell's Kitchen at this like really nice burger restaurant, and then walked a few blocks to this like hole in the wall independent theater and watched Drunk Shakespeare. So
sweet, there you go.
It's probably not quite the as it was in the days of Daredevil.
No.
When the comic was first
and
written.
It's kind of Upper West Side. It borders Times Square a little bit, but then goes a little north of it.
It's more kitchen than hell now.
Yeah. And then, I mean, Harlem sits right above Times Square. It's above Central Park. That's when you start getting into Harlem.
All right.
So anyway, it's
for all you New Yorkers out there.
Yeah.
Send your tweets at The Way We Nerd and tell us how wrong we are.
Right? I just have to get my sister on the phone for that. She'll correct
everything. Is she living in New York right now?
Yeah. Yeah, she lives in Sunnyside, Queens. So
What the hell is Sunnyside, Queens?
It's just a part of Queens.
Yeah, it's one of those subsections.
It's a subsection of Queens, which is a subsection.
LA's got the same thing.
Like Mid-Wilshire is not a city. Or
Silver Lake.
Or Silver Lake.
Toluca Lake or...
All these places aren't really.
I think Toluca Lake is. It is, but it's part of whatever.
Anyway,
Luke Cage is fantastic. You should watch it because the social commentary is great, and it does have some elements that are a throwback to blaxploitation films, which gave rise to a lot of prominent African American actors in cinema, which is awesome. I mean, out of that we got a lot of great actors and actresses. It's a really good series.
Black Dynamite obviously is amazing, but that's
Black Dynamite's
more
hilarious.
Parody. So
it's cool, and it doesn't get too repetitive with him punching his fists and punching his way through everything. So yeah, watch it, and then we can have a big long discussion.
All I know is I keep mentioning to the people who've seen it, and I've talked to a few people who aren't comic book fans, and they're loving it. Although the consensus seems to be Daredevil season 2 are people's favorites. but they said Luke Cage is...
It's hard I've to be a lot of Daredevil and Punisher, but...
I've heard a lot of Luke Cage, like, is the best one, or close to the best one so
it's,
far.
It's tight, that's the thing. I mean, Jessica Jones was really tight as a series and everything, and then I think they've improved upon that format and gotten Luke Cage even tighter.
I understand, like, people were feeling Jessica was dragged a little bit, because obviously Kilgrave wasn't a major part of it until, like, the sixth episode. I mean, he was always there, but by then he was, like, in it, you know, half the episode, if not more.
You right. look at me like I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, Kyle, what do you think?
Right, I'm just giving you the conversation. I'm just gonna, but no, what I was just fair. Saying is once it gets to David Tennant, that show really takes off, like, when he's yeah. more of a focus.
Like Doctor Who.
Exactly. It's fair. Exactly.
I do think... Because
I love... What I loved about Jessica so much was I love that... I don't know the exact line. I know I'm paraphrasing, but when she says... When he takes control of me, because Kilgrave has a power, Kyle, David Tennant has a power to control people.
That's his power. Mm-hmm.
And Jessica Jones obviously is superhuman strength and all that stuff. So she says, when he takes over me and he has me do these things, I know what I'm doing, but I still can't stop. I don't try to stop it. Like, kind of thing. It's like almost like she's saying, like, there's a point like where Bruce Banner likes turning into the Hulk, like that smirk he gives at right. the end of Incredible Hulk, the Norton one.
Right.
So, which is probably the best moment of that entire series, or that entire movie.
Yeah, probably.
But anyway, all I want to know is, and Potter, you don't have to confirm this because this is spoilers.
That's fair.
If they somehow make a joke or work in the 70s costume of the yellow tank top with the half shirt and the friggin' bandana, or not bandana, is that what it is?
It's, whatever it is. Yeah, or just a headpiece. Headband. They do work that in a very clever and perfect way, nice. But they don't keep it.
No, I don't want them to keep it.
No, I know, because it's pretty 70s, that's for sure.
It's ridiculous 70s. Like, yeah. It's the sweatsuit, and he was wearing sweatpants and high-top sneakers.
I love that look.
That's when I started reading Iron Man, or Power Man.
There is a great running gag as far as his wardrobe goes through the whole series that I loved. And they do something every episode, sometimes multiple times in the episode. So it's...
Because he does wear a yellow shirt, right? Like, he wears a yellow t-shirt a lot?
Yes and no. You have to watch it. I was happy with it. Like, costume-wise, I think they did a great job with it, especially for the tone and the commentary they're using for Luke Cage. I will say, of these three now, I think Luke Cage and Jessica Jones are the most accessible for all audiences. Comic book fans are going to love Daredevil and Punisher, mostly, because those are, you know, super, I guess not super powered, but those are the guys that are in bigger costumes, bolder costumes. But Luke Cage and Jessica Jones are more regular people trying to do something good with what they have. So it's more accessible for a generalized audience that's not super comic book savvy.
What have you seen, Kyle? Like, have you just seen...
I saw the first episode of Daredevil. And that's as far as I got. I didn't have a problem with it. I liked it.
You just haven't had time.
No, I think I saw more than the first episode. I remember the hallway
That's
fight.
In the second or third episode. So okay. you're remembering
yeah, yeah, yeah.
early. It was pretty early. Yeah. So they still have Iron Fist coming.
Yes,
yeah, that's coming
really good,
in spring. I think spring.
And
March,
then the
April?
Defenders Sounds is like, the, March. Them teaming up.
Yeah. Yes, okay. which I have on the list. That's a good segue to get us into that. So yeah,
there was an Iron Fist trailer. Before we move on, teaser.
Yes. Before we move on,
yes.
The actual best part of Edward Norton, Incredible Hulk, is when he says, "You wouldn't like me when I'm hungry."
Oh, in Spanish or in Portuguese? It's in Portuguese.
Yeah,
yeah.
That is pretty funny.
That is very good. I agree. Actually, I like a lot of that stuff in Brazil, but I like that movie. But anyway,
it's fine.
It's better than the Eric Bana one.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I think most people would agree with that. So yeah, there's an Iron Fist teaser out. It looks pretty cool. I'm pretty happy with it. He's got the tattoo on his chest and everything.
And he's white.
And he's white. Yeah,
well, Danny Rand is white, unfortunately.
Rand is white. But it looks like they're gonna do some pretty cool stuff with it.
I do agree with you, Kyle. I think that there was a chance there you could have made the kid at least half Asian, and then, like, part of the storyline would be him getting in touch with his.
I mean, like, so here's my question: as somebody who hasn't read it and knows very little about it, is there any reason other than, well, he was white in the comics, to not change
the
his race?
Only thing about him is he's a privileged kid. Like, he's rich.
Yes.
Like, his family's rich. He's kind of like a Ollie Queen thing, where you know, he was kind of a reckless, you know, youth and went out and did bullshit, and he met a somebody who said he was the chosen one of something or other. I don't know what it was. Some Asian master, martial arts master, and he you know, tamed him and turned him into the weapon that he was supposed to become, the Iron Fist. Right. But you don't necessarily have to have him white. You can make him from a very rich family, and you can have all that storyline come from any other race. So the whiteness is not inherent in him. Okay. You know, he doesn't have to be white. I mean, there's so many...
So it's without... I mean, nobody has to be outraged over it, but it sounds to me like a missed opportunity.
That's what I think it is. That's what I think it is. And especially because there's not enough Asian characters on TV.
Even right. Chinese-American actors. That's a good segue for something else here in a second. But,
right. Well, yeah, I had read something about how the guy who's playing the villain lobbied really hard to get the role. To get the lead.
To get Iron Fist?
Yeah.
Interesting. I had not read that.
Oh, lobby for him to get it?
For himself.
For himself.
Oh, for himself.
Okay. Yeah. He wanted to play that role.
Yeah. Which is interesting. I mean, again, it's you could totally change the nationality, race, whatever, of that character, I think, and still have it be mostly, and still have it be a privileged child who comes from money and everything else.
Are you trying to say Asian people don't have money?
No, I'm saying... are you saying that they do? Are you
yes.
Yeah.
I'm saying that that's some do and some don't. That's a
reverse stereotype. it's
true. I guess my question is like... Yeah. In the way that Black Panther kind of has to be black...
Yes.
That's one of the...
That is one character.
Spider-Man...
Yeah. And Luke Cage
Spider-Man,
has to be...
it doesn't matter at all.
No.
Like,
there's nothing about Spider-Man that has to be a certain race.
No.
I'm trying to think.
You would say it's probably closer to Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you can definitely... All he has to do is be a wealthy brat who gets set on the right path. That's all he has to be. I'm trying to think. I'm racking my brain here in all the comic books I've ever read. I can't think of a single character that needs to be white. And Black Panther is one of the very few that just needs to be black. I don't know any other ones that would need to, like, even be black or Hispanic or...
Yeah.
Asian, like, I mean...
Yeah, because even...
I mean, James Bond just has to be British. That's not comic books, but he doesn't necessarily have to be white or a man.
No, Idris Elba would be a great Bond.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't think we're ever going to have a female Bond, but at least not for a while. But we're about to have a female president.
They will do... The hard part with that, if you're the powers that be with doing a female Bond, is... I don't think they'd ever trust the audience enough to do it.
I agree with you.
Because, like, I could see them doing it. The way they would almost have to do it is for them to be comfortable with it. Not the way I would advocate doing it.
Yeah.
But the way I think they would have to do it to be comfortable with it is have the normal James Bond and then have a sort of smaller other movie so that they're not being like, okay, this female Bond is our new Bond. And now we've committed to having a female Bond. We're going to, in 2 years, have the female Bond movie come out. And then in 2 years, we have to do another one. Because if we don't and go back to a male Bond, you know, we've sort of committed the biggest PR blunder we could with this. Like, so I could see them doing, like, a side thing where it's like, it's 008.
That's what I was thinking to myself.
It's Jane Bond.
Why don't you do, like, he teams up with other agents all the time. Why aren't any of them ever women?
Okay.
Yeah.
I take that back. Tomorrow Never Dies, kind of.
Oh, yeah. Well, was that Christmas Jones?
No, fuck that. Okay. No, that was an Asian girl. That was Michelle Yeoh.
Oh, yeah.
But she wasn't a British Asian.
She was Chinese.
Here's what just... The thing that bugged me so much about... it was not Casino Royale. What was it? It wasn't Quantum of Solace. What was the third one?
Skyfall.
Skyfall.
Mm-hmm.
Best one.
You start Skyfall... with Bond.
That's Craig one.
Yeah. You start Skyfall with Bond and this badass chick. And she's like doing spy shit with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the end, they fucking make her Moneypenny. And it's like, so you're going to have this badass chick, and you know what? She can't quite cut in the field, so we're going to put her behind a desk.
Well, I think, funny that you mentioned that, I think, didn't they do that in the fourth one, the newest one? Did you see the newest one?
Is that the newest one? It was one of the recent ones.
It was the recent one. I don't think it was Skyfall. I think it was the
recent
one.
No, I think it was Skyfall because it was the one that starts with him getting shot.
Yeah,
off the train.
On the train.
She like shoots him on the train. She's trying to shoot the guy next to him. And she misses the shot. and shoots him off the train. It's the one where M switches. And
well, M's still in Skyfall though.
Right. Yeah, but at the end she becomes, because at the end of that movie, you suddenly have, you know, you suddenly have, now it's
Ralph Fiennes.
Now it's Ralph Fiennes. Now it's a white dude as M.
Yeah, we're back to
and the badass female agent is now fucking the white dude's assistant. The badass black female agent is now the white dude's assistant and his Moneypenny. And it's like, I don't need a fucking, like, origin story for Moneypenny where, like,
she gets to be behind the desk.
The chick who gets coffee was a badass agent but couldn't cut it in the field. Like, no, let her cut into the field. Let them work together in the next movie. Let's do something interesting.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I totally forgot about that little plot
thread. I have so many issues with Skyfall.
That's so funny, because that's the one that I do think it's the best, but I didn't think
about
that.
Oh, I think it's the best of the Craig ones, except maybe Casino Royale. But it's just nothing about the heroes, because that was in that area, that time period where every villain had to, as part of their plan, get captured.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, like Loki.
I gotta say
in
this,
the first Avengers movie.
Yeah, I gotta say this: the Bond audience is pretty much 70-30 male to female, and 20% are just there with their husbands or boyfriends just because.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying that's a reason not to do it. No, but like, but I agree with you. I don't understand why
she was like the best part of that movie until she became Moneypenny.
Yeah, I would have kept her as that. Yeah, and I mean, unless you do something instead of cutting it in the field, you have something traumatic happen to her, so she takes herself basically out of the field.
Yeah, but then eventually still...
comes back. Yeah, but then in this newest one, she's like, "Fuck that! Totally I'm ready to go back with James, or I got to go save James," kind of thing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You
can't. Nobody can save Bond. Bond has to save himself.
I need to go help James save himself.
Well, you know, we're not to that yet. We'll get to that later. I was just talking about Rebels and how much I love it so much.
No, we'll get to that.
Yeah. We'll get to it. Just remind me about people saving people in Rebels.
People saving people. That's fair.
People saving people.
I will.
Okay. So moving on quickly. Defenders teaser is out. It's not anything. It's just a title card.
Your
and
favorite type of
trailer.
Beauty yeah,
and the
right.
Beast teaser.
They pull in some stuff here and there from the different series, and it has a voiceover by Stick.
When you said when you first read that, when you wrote that on Stick, I thought it was like, what is it? The Stick figures with voiceover? I'm confused. Stick, the Scott Glenn character. Scott Glenn character.
The tone of it, just from the teaser.
I haven't watched it yet.
Looks pretty cool, or it sounds pretty cool. The soundtrack they have for it, I'm like, okay, I'm into this, because
you're like, that's music.
Yeah, that's good. I was into it as much as I was into the second trailer for Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
oh,
let's yeah, oh yeah.
Hey, Suicide Squad, got to mention,
got a little dig in there for Suicide Squad. Yeah,
we're not going to delve into it.
But here's the thing about Suicide
Squad. No! Okay, so.
But I have another extended edition to talk about, but we'll get to that in a second.
Okay, that's fine. Going back to a point real quick, because
I
think
this is
interesting.
No, I'm not really into that
thing. No.
But somebody thinks it's interesting.
So, we were talking about casting different genders, different races, all of that in roles, and can we do swapping and whatever. So going back onto the Chinese-American thing for Danny Rand, there has been some heat in the news directed at Disney for their casting choice of and spec script for Mulan, their live-action Mulan.
Wait, they already have they already have Mulan cast?
Well, they don't... Okay, not a cast, but I'm sorry. Like, I guess it's mostly the spec script and the way the characters
like
are...
It Mulan's going to be white. That doesn't make any sense.
No.
There are no white people in China at that time, except for Matt Damon. But he's a man.
According to the spec script.
It's going to be, oh God, why can't I remember her name? This is horrible podcast etiquette.
Shailene Woodley?
It's going to be Emma Stone. She already played half Asian.
There you go.
Yes, but she's in the other Disney movie, though. She's Maleficent? No.
Who's she?
Oh, Cruella DeVille.
Cruella DeVille.
All right.
Sorry, Potter. We're stepping all over you.
Seriously. Okay.
Get it out, Potter. What's the controversy?
So the controversy is Disney purchased a spec script for live-action Mulan. Uh-huh. And the way the spec script is lined out...
Matt Damon, isn't it?
Oh, God. I don't need that to happen. Because I still...
did that joke 2 minutes ago.
Did you?
Yeah.
No,
I didn't hear.
There was no white people in China at that time, except for Matt Damon.
Oh. See, even I missed it.
Sorry, guys.
Okay.
Right.
So
I forgive you all.
Mulan is Chinese, okay. Which is good.
Good.
But there is going to be
But for which province?
White male is going to join forces with the Chinese army. Mm-hmm. He's there, like an American male.
Damon.
There is no Americans at that time.
Fall in love with Mulan and wind up rescuing her instead of the other way around.
Maybe you mean British, because there's no Americans at that time.
I guess it's
the Mulan story, but a white dude's the hero.
It's Pocahontas. Yes. It's Pocahontas, basically, but with Mulan.
Yes.
Wait.
So
are they going to do that one?
They're pretty much throwing out the whole actual story of Mulan in the spec script and having a white man rescue a Chinese woman, which is the total wrong thing to do if you're going to do Mulan. First of all, you've already set up your animated version, right?
Yeah.
Which worked great. It was a great movie.
And they had an Asian dude doing that guy's voice, at least, B.D. Wong.
Yes,
but then they had Donny Osmond do his singing voice. But you know.
Yeah, whatever. But it's still that cast.
That's a great song, by the way.
So,
you know Asians can't sing.
True. Except for Jackie Chan.
So the controversy here
I do not believe that Asians can't sing.
Why do that? Why not? There are so many talented Chinese actors that could be leading men, or Chinese American actors that could be leading men.
Let me ask you.
Or John Cho, even if he's not Chinese.
Oh, I cast John Cho in everything.
Absolutely.
We already did that hashtag cast John Cho. That was what it was.
That was the thing. Yeah,
that was
John Cho
in everything.
Movie poster,
yep.
And
it worked
because he's great.
He's such a handsome man. Anyway, what I was going to say is now. This doesn't necessarily mean the script they're going with. Said they bought
and
a spec script.
That's a good point. So
they can totally rewrite this.
So here's the thing.
They'll get a white person in there somehow, because or at least somebody, some different.
Of course they will.
I mean, I don't.
But I don't need there to be. You don't need this.
You don't need star power for these movies.
No, for
Jungle
Mulan,
Book had none.
Yeah,
I mean, it's voice actors. But,
well, voice actors. Yeah, but
none. Bill Murray.
But I mean, people.
Idris Elba.
People like to go see that anyway, but.
Scarlett Johansson.
He's just going to keep going if we let him keep going.
I can't think of anyone else.
Well, that doesn't always work. There's a lot of animated films that have a lot of famous people that don't fucking hit.
Absolutely.
So this is the update now to this controversy, if you want to.
Disney.
Yeah.
Put their proverbial mouse tail between their legs and.
No, it's not even that. So people got completely pissed off about this spec script news. Uh-huh. But what they don't realize is exactly what Dan said. It's a spec script, and Disney is going to buy up different scripts. Just so they can cherry pick things from it for a final script, or just so that script can never be released or see the light of day, and they can sweep it under the rug.
Who wrote the script? That's what I want to know.
I'd have to go.
Who's the guy who looked at the story of Mulan and said, "This needs more white dude"?
Yeah,
I'm sure it was a white guy.
Maybe, I don't know.
Absolutely.
So now
probably a Trump supporter.
Now it's come out that I mean. Buying a spec script is pretty much SOP for any major studio. You're going to buy up a spec script for a film that you're looking to produce so that you then own the rights to that script and you can throw it all out or you can use little bits from it.
I think people are overreacting to that. Just like
I agree.
As, I mean, it's the same kind of thing as when Kyle, like, it doesn't even need to be news. Just like those, the Star Trek teaser and the Beauty and the Beast teaser didn't need to be new. Didn't even need to be out there.
Right.
So this is like one of those things. It's a non-story, but it's something to talk about.
It's something to just at least remind people that, yes, there are many things in Hollywood that suck and many different casting choices and a good old boy network kind of situation for different things. It's there. It's prevalent. But that doesn't mean that every studio is going to be that same way. And Disney's track record, they're pretty diverse with their casting, to be fair to Disney.
No, they are. They are. I mean, and we're going to get to it, but I mean, just look at the Rogue One cast thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's there's very few white dudes in that, and most of them are bad guys.
So my point then, too, is for Mulan, let's cast all Chinese actors and actresses, or even Chinese-American actors and actresses. Have a mix in there. We don't need a bunch of white people in a movie that's based in Chinese mythology.
There's so many Asian actors out there that are recognizable to the world.
Yes.
Even if not here, and people here will go see...
They're going
to go. We already talked about this recently. Star power isn't what it used to be.
No.
People go see directors. Like, people are excited that Jon Favreau is directing Lion King. People are excited that somebody's directing Aladdin, which I see it on your list, so you can go ahead and.
I didn't put that on the list.
You put that on the list.
I didn't put it on the list.
You put it on the list.
Did I put that on the list?
Yeah. Morehead!
Does Morehead do that?
No. It was you. You and I are the only ones that put stuff on the list.
Guy Ritchie.
I put stuff on the list that one time.
That's right.
Guy Ritchie is signed up to do Aladdin.
Which is awesome.
So that means Aladdin's going to be super dark, super violent, but funny as hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
You like Dags?
Do you like Dags? I'm throwing it in, since we're already talking about John Cho, I'm going to throw his brother Cal Penn in there for Aladdin.
Okay.
But actually, no, they need someone a little prettier than Cal. I love Cal.
Yeah, a little prettier.
They need someone a little prettier, a little younger. Yeah, Aladdin's got to be like in his early 20s.
You know who would be great, like a younger version of him, is, I can't pronounce his last name, so I apologize, Sendhil Rama Maturi,
You're going to have to refresh my memory.
He was Mohinder Suresh on Heroes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Scientist dude.
But he's probably about the same age as Cal.
Yeah. I'm saying a younger version of him.
Oh, you said younger version of him.
He's a very pretty man.
Yeah.
I agree. He's a very, very pretty man. You know who else they could do it? That kid who was in Life of Pi. The one that was on the boat.
Yeah.
But he could also do, well, I guess he's Indian, never mind.
It's Guy Ritchie, so he's going to find a British Indian. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But
he's going to be, it's going to be a white guy.
It's going to be a white dude.
It's going to really be the Genie story, and Genie's going to be a white guy.
Yeah,
white
dude. Yeah. Yep. It's going to be Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, God.
All due respect, Jake. But yeah, I hope Mulan is I agree with you, an all Asian cast.
Yeah.
Like, except if you want to put Eddie Murphy in a dragon suit and have him run around being Mushu, I have no problem with
that. I'm sold on that. That's fine.
Even if it's a cheap suit, just to hear him, like, I love Mushu. I think I like him, even though I love Donkey. Mushu is my favorite Eddie Murphy voice. Like, I love Mushu so friggin' much. Like,
yeah.
I love
more than Donkey.
That's what I was saying. Like, I like Donkey so much. All due respect to Donkey. And we have a lot more Donkey than we have Mushu. But I just love the character of Mushu. Like, he's just so wonderful. Anyway, moving on.
I'm going to say something really quick. It's a personal anecdote. Uh-huh. But Katie hates to know. She does not like to know who voices characters in animated things.
Beforehand?
Interesting.
She doesn't ever want to know.
Ever.
Why does that destroy the
turtle? Yeah, for her, I think it sort of, it kills the illusion somewhat.
But it's kind of hard when you go see, like, Jungle Book and Bill Murray and Christopher Walken. Their voices are so unmistakable.
Yeah, but in her head, I don't think she, like,
really?
She tries not to make that connection. But we were at Universal Studios and we were on the Shrek 4D ride.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, oh, I think they actually got Mike Myers
and Eddie.
Eddie Murphy and
Cameron Diaz.
No.
Lithgow?
Yeah, Lithgow.
Yeah, Lithgow.
John Lithgow. Mm-hmm. To do this. And she's like, she just looked at me with just like disappointment and hatred in her
eyes. It's like the kid who's behind the scenes at Disney and sees Mickey Mouse take his hat off.
It's like I just shattered something in her.
Another personal little story. The other day, speaking of John Lithgow, us at the FIL writer's office got to see him dancing. He's filming a new movie with Amy Poehler and Will Ferrell.
Oh, God.
And he was what he was doing, but him and another actor who I recognize, but I don't know his name, they were just, like, dancing up a storm in the driveway, and it looked hilarious. I'm like, yeah, Lithgow! I didn't shout that, but I felt
that explains it. We saw him walking, when we were walking back from Starbucks the other day.
I love Lithgow. I've been watching Third Rock from the Sun on Netflix, and been digging.
Oh my God, that should be a show. He should get a half-hour sitcom called "I Love Lithgow."
I love Lithgow.
I'd be down with that.
It works for Raymond.
Okay.
I'd be down with that.
Okay. What's next?
Everybody loves Raymond.
Do they?
Well, we have pressed again.
So, what do we got next?
What's next on the agenda, Mr.
Potter?
Come on, Potter, spit it out.
Let's knock out this Power Rangers teaser, this newest one.
Yeah, that'll be quick.
No,
I didn't mean it like that. Obviously, I want to hear what
you guys think. First of all, it was a full trailer.
It wasn't a teaser.
It wasn't a logo.
They called it a teaser, though.
They did call it a teaser. Something.
They did call it a teaser, but it was like a two and a half minute trailer.
Yeah, that was a legit trailer.
No. I'm not bagging on it. I'm just saying.
I am They stole the sign from Alex's hometown.
What? Those jerks.
They
totally did.
She watched the I was watching the trailer. And
oh,
she
Alex,
came
our
into
friend
Alex.
Why do we Alex keep forgetting here, that I know somebody named Alex here?
I don't know.
Because somebody, and when we were talking at the 25-ish meeting, someone was like, well, Alex had this idea. I was like, who the hell's Alex? I know Alex really well. Yes. Sorry.
No, I was at my desk watching it, and I like was yelping my excitement. She came in to watch it, and she's like, wait a second, pause it. That's the sign for my hometown. And then she pulled it up on her phone, and it is exactly the
she's
same
from,
sign.
She's from Wisconsin, right?
Yes, she
Wisconsin.
Is.
Wisconsin. Yep.
It's adorable when she says Wisconsin. She says it like Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
It's really hilarious.
So I liked it. I think it's really interesting.
Yeah, yes. What's up? And I know this is a minor quibble, but why are you hooking up to Pink and the Red Ranger? That's Tommy's girl. Come on now.
But we got no Tommy yet. Tommy didn't show up right away.
Is he going to, though?
I don't know. Maybe if there's a sequel.
Tommy's speaking of Tommy, that actor's Jason David Frank is in a comic book movie. The first one from Valiant.
Ninjak. Yep.
Well, we'll get to that when I actually have a trailer for that. But go ahead. Yeah. Continue on the Power Rangers.
Yeah. No, I think it looks great. I was a little apprehensive at first, especially after the suit designs. But then
that first poster though got me really excited.
Oh no,
I know it was so simple,
was
but that one with they're sitting on the car and looking
at
the
stars.
Yeah,
the silhouettes and looking at the stars. Yeah, yeah.
Are
yeah.
any of the Rangers themselves names at all? Like, I didn't really recognize any of them.
They said
the
name.
No, the actors.
Yeah.
Not that I know.
Because I feel like they went for big names for Zordon and, Rita Repulsa.
Yeah.
Oh, that scene was awesome, by the way, with Elizabeth Banks. Yes. Above the bench. She's like, I've killed Rangers before. I just got goosebumps thinking about that. Because that's so sick. Because
pretty badass.
That leads to, an existence of an entire Rangers universe.
Yeah.
No Rangerverse.
Well, Rangerverse. Mythology, yes.
No, but there were.
But there is a Rangerverse because there's like there.
Right.
Was,
I'm just saying I don't need like seven different Ranger movies on
Power Rangers Turbo.
No, dear God, no. Well, all of those kind of fizzled out and didn't do well at all.
No, they did fine.
They did
as television shows. Obviously.
Okay. Well, yes, but the classic series is what everybody knows and loves most.
I don't know that show kept going, dude. Like next generations were watching.
That's
the
question, though, is because like we watched the original,
yes,
and then we aged out of it.
Yeah, yes. I that was
you know
and
like
I,
how I don't know how it was how later seasons were reacted to because I didn't watch.
I know, and I think I've said this on the pod too because that was my last like kid thing. Like I think I was. I want to say I was a sophomore or freshman in high school when Power Rangers first came on. Mm-hmm. So I did dig it in the beginning. It might have been my junior high year because I remember I was still sharing a room with my brother, and I think I moved down there like freshman year. And because I had a big picture of Amy Jo Johnson above my bed because I had a huge crush on the Pink Ranger. And I even went to go see the second movie in the theater because she returned. Because at that point the originals all left, most of them at least.
Right.
By the Power Rangers Turbo movie. But then she came back as like a bad guy, and I was like, yeah, Dark Amy Jo Johnson.
Yeah.
I can't remember her character's name. Kimberly?
Yep. Kimberly. Cool. Yep. The originals were great. My sister and I watched those when they were on, and I loved every time the Green Ranger would pull out his magical flute sword and call the dragon sword.
Dun, dun, dun,
yep.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yep. It was
What about
awesome.
When he became the White Ranger?
I like them better when he's the Green Ranger.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree.
Although the White Ranger's costume was pretty cool, I won't lie.
It is, yeah. Yeah.
What was the point of that? Why did he become, like, what was that?
I don't remember. Didn't he start evil?
Well,
he did start evil.
He was evil.
His first
then,
episodes were called Green with Evil.
Yes.
Yeah. Five-part...
I think Rita Repulsa cloned him, or she and Lord Zedd. I don't know if Zedd came into the picture at that point. God, this is
about
super
Zedd.
Nerdy.
Holy
yeah,
shit.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't there yet. Not when the Green Ranger came out.
No,
because I just started watching it recently on the Netflix, and I got to the point. I've already gotten past that point, and I love that 5-episode arc.
Oh yeah,
the acting in that show is so fucking bad, but it's such a wonderful show. Regardless, it's still wonderful, but it's so bad.
I remember right, it was a Japanese show.
Yeah,
and they took the fight sequences from the Japanese show, and recorded the live action like out of the suit stuff here.
Yeah.
With the cast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like half of those shows were in the bag before they even started shooting.
Yeah.
Right.
I think eventually it became a production over here, but yeah, it was because you could tell a lot of those scenes, especially the ones between the big deformed What's the what's the name of the formed when they form up into something?
Captain Planet.
No, Megazord, I think.
Megazord, yeah. Yeah. Megazord, when he turns into that thing, and they're fighting the big monsters over the cities,
it's literally just a Godzilla movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, at that point.
It's a really, worse Godzilla movie.
Yes.
All I know is I really want Goldar to be in it, too, with Rita Repulsa.
Well, I was going to ask, Goldar was always bullies awesome. In there, too? What was it?
Bulk and Skull? Yeah, I hope so, because they were the comic relief, and especially in the movie. At that point, they had kind of come to terms with the Rangers, and they were
I didn't know they were Rangers, did they?
No, they weren't.
But the
regular, you know, the high school kids that were Rangers. So, yeah, I love Bulk and Skull, especially when they jump out of the plane.
We barely talked about the trailer at all, actually.
But I know.
They called, was it Putty?
The putties, yeah.
Because they had to have those things so you could kind of, like, kill them and they wouldn't really die because they weren't really alive. Kind of like the robots in G.I. Joe.
Yeah. Right.
The way you get around killing in that show.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, no, the teaser itself for the trailer itself was cool. And there were some interesting things revealed as far as powers and stuff go. How they get their powers, how they get the suits. Mm-hmm. I think there was a shot of it kind of morphing onto their body, basically.
Yeah, looks like the first time they get their suits.
Yeah, almost like a liquidy digital sort of thing that forms over them instead of just that quick flash and they're in their suits. So,
it'll only be like that the first time.
The movie comes out in March already. That's like pretty soon.
Yeah, it's
so I'm assuming all principal is shot.
Unless they do reshoots, but yeah.
But I guess that means, and they just announced the voice of Alpha, which I'm very excited about. Did you guys hear who that is?
Yeah. I think we've talked about this.
I think we might have mentioned it last time. But Bill Hader.
Yeah.
Oh,
I can already hear Bill Hader's voice going, ay, 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 ay. I don't know if he will, but in my head, I can hear it already.
He'll do it. He'll get that in there at some point.
Of course, Zordon is Breaking Bad. Jesus Christ. Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, Bryan Cranston. Yeah.
So, obviously, we mentioned Elizabeth Banks as Rita. So they've gotten talent as far as the adult roles.
Fascinating casting.
I think that was the smart decision, though, and have the Rangers be more unknowns, just generic high school student types that they can shape and mold.
One of the guys is from Teen Wolf. Like, some of them, like, have been on shows that are out right now, but none of them are, like, the main characters on those shows.
Right.
So it's, yeah, it's so they
Which bring, also helps smart. To be more of an ensemble.
Yeah. Yes.
Which you should absolutely focus on, you know.
You don't have to focus on Shailene Woodley as the Pink Ranger. But anyway, all right. Well, I did like the trailer. I didn't mean like that. I'm surprised that we talked as much about it. But I was just.
Yeah.
But yeah. But anyway,
that's because we didn't have Moorhead here pushing us forward.
That's true. That conversation would have been about 5 minutes shorter, at least. Yeah. Sorry.
Conducting by Moorhead. No. How about Ghostbusters Extended Edition? That just released on Blu-ray, 4K, DVD, digital, all of the things.
And I bought it.
I bought the
4K because I just got a 4K TV and
let
me tell you guys
you old so and so
I know but it's just I didn't realize what 4K was like you know
it's
how
4000
thanks Kyle it's four times the resolution of HD
yes
but it's an alternative to 3D which I didn't realize this because you know it's got the black bar widescreen bars but like. The proton packs come over the bars. Like, it pops off the screen. I didn't know that's what it was doing. I thought it was just a clearer picture. But it's almost 3D without the glasses.
No. It did that in the theater.
Oh, I know.
Okay.
But
it would do that on a normal TV.
Really?
Go over the black bars?
Oh, well. Yeah. Why didn't I notice it so much in the theater?
In the theater, it was totally there. Yeah, it went. Because they projected it with.
Well,
we
were watching it in 3D, weren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was built into the print. So the print itself has those black bars on it so that they can.
Well, you just made me a little less excited than for 4K.
I'm sorry.
That means the rest of them aren't going to be like that.
But still.
No. That was a Ghostbusters.
But
anyway,
specific feature.
I would still rather have
a
4K TV versus a 3D TV.
Yes.
I don't want to have to wear the glasses. But anyway.
Yeah.
Regardless, the what I liked about this extended edition was it fixed everything, almost everything that I kind of had. Well, not everything. I mean, it's still, there's still the same similar beats to the original movie, except they cut one part out. And I'm going to say, well, do you guys want to know what happened in the extended edition? Or you guys want to
I mean, I'll watch it, but.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Well, they, it's not, they crossed the streams.
Okay.
You know, which I thought was, it was clever when they did it in this one. Just as, I mean, just as clever as some of their other throwbacks, but I don't understand why they cut that. They cut an entire subplot with Kristen Wiig and a boyfriend. So this actor got completely cut out of the movie.
That
it
sucks.
Was the, I don't think I saw Weeds, but it was the it was the brother-in-law Andy. That's who the actor was, and I like that actor.
Yeah,
but the boyfriend plot is inconsequential, but it robbed us of a couple of really good Kristen Wiig scenes that would have made me liked her more. Remember I told you that her and Melissa McCarthy kind of disappointed me?
Yeah.
They added stuff to this extended edition. There's another part that was obviously an ad-lib scene between Leslie Jones and Melissa McCarthy. It was absolutely hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also part of those boyfriend scenes. So when they decided, obviously, to cut out that subplot,
they lost a lot of
good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know it made the movie 2 hours and 15 minutes, or 2 hours and 5 minutes, whatever it is. I think 15 is actually right, 2 hours and 15. It was a much better version. And I like, and I told you guys, like I liked it. I didn't like, it wasn't over the moon about it like you guys were.
Right.
But if this would have been the version that was released, dude, it fixed like at least three major plot holes in my opinion. And that dance sequence that they showed at the end, it's so much better in the movie. It's
interesting.
And you know what? And they made the bad guy better. There's a couple scenes with the bad guy that I'm like, this is fucking cool. Why did you cut this out? Like he has this line where he says, the ghosts are going to come and pester the living. And Kristen Wiig goes, oh, pester, that doesn't sound very nice. They're going to pester children's limbs from their limbs. Or limbs from the... They're going to pester children's limbs from their body. And I'm like, I don't think that's what pester means. But it's just like these really funny moments. But it also fleshes out the bad guy a little bit more. And I mean, I would have made cuts other places. But if you were going to sacrifice. Because I love the extended edition. It was really good. Like, you guys...
I'm going to see it. I'm probably going to buy it, honestly, because it's a fun movie.
You should.
And I want to see the extended edition and see the stuff that got cut.
I understand the cuts as far as time goes, but it's the same thing with BVS. Like, although BVS obviously was way better than the original version, this one's just slightly better, but it's still better. Like, it's the more complete movie.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is the studio's like, this needs to be 90 minutes.
That's exactly what they did. That's exactly what they did, and they didn't even cut. They cut it to 1:14 is the movie, the theatrical version running time, and I think I want to say it's like 2:12 for the.
Wow. Really, 1:14? I don't.
114 minutes.
Yeah, no, I know. 114.
Sorry,
114 minutes. Okay. And this one's like this one. I think this one's 128. No, yeah, about 120, 129 minutes.
Okay.
But it's,
why didn't they just leave that in then?
That's what I'm saying. It wasn't
that much of.
It was
difference.
Like 13 minutes they cut out. And I don't think anybody would have had a problem with that, because that movie was, everybody, at least our screening, fucking loved it.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure it might have turned a few detractors. The ones that had a problem with the plot, not the,
right.
But the fact that the girls, Ghostbusters.
Hater idiots.
Not the assholes.
Yeah, but they don't matter. So. Anyway, sorry.
That's okay.
I should have came with notes.
Funny story about that.
I was trying to take notes, but I was so into the movie last night, so I didn't even do it.
People are still, because I followed a couple different Ghostbusters pages, the main one, and then also GB fans page. People are still posting hateful shit on there. It's like, dude, the movie's come out. It's been out in theaters. They're going to advertise and market their DVD and Blu-ray sales. Get over it. Like, seriously, get over it.
You already tanked the movie.
Yeah.
You fuck dick. So, just leave it be.
I also like the term shit swizzlers.
Shit swizzlers.
That's a good one, too. I just rewatched Deadpool, so I've got a lot of those going in my head right now.
I hope the Blu-ray sells well, or the digital, whatever.
Too.
I just hope the home video sells well. Sales are good, because... I know they're already. Have they announced officially there's not going to be a sequel, or there's just speculation because of the money lost?
I think it's just speculation
at this point. Said anything either way, but
because I really want more time with these Ghostbusters, especially Kate McKinnon.
Yeah.
So
Kate McKinnon is perfect.
And the funny thing is, they don't really add much of her, so they obviously didn't want to cut very much of her, which is
because
awesome.
They knew what they had with
exactly.
her for sure.
So,
yeah,
she's just as wonderful. She has a couple of scenes that are. that give her a little more depth. Mm-hmm. You know.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I forgot about that. But you guys will see it, and I can't yes. wait to talk to you. Even if we talk about it off pod, I'd like to hear you guys' no, thoughts definitely. On that. Yeah. One. But anyway, everybody definitely. Go out and buy Ghostbusters.
Yes. Okay. All what right. else we got?
Well, we can either talk about Fantastic Beasts, or we can talk about A World of Western Pleasures.
I say we wait on Westworld for when Josh is here.
Okay.
Okay.
And we'll talk about off. Episodes 2 and 3 next week.
That's good.
Because I think number one, I want to get to Star Wars. And yes. number two, I think Fantastic Beasts is probably going to take up our last 10 minutes.
I would agree. And Westworld...
maybe not. We'll see.
There was some stuff that happened this last week, but yeah. I feel like it'll be more of a complete discussion.
I just... Yeah, I think we'll have a third episode. Conversation. Yeah. Plus, yeah, uh-huh. Like I said, I like Josh's thoughts to hear. Cause like, but he was around for the first time, the first episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's why he stepped out for Rebels. That's right. That was Rebels.
Yeah.
He stepped
yeah.
out for. But yeah, if I remember, he had some insights that I want to delve more into. Anyway, Fantastic Beasts. What's and the news, Potter?
Where to find them? Let's find them.
Five times.
Five times. Yes, it is now going to be a 5-movie series instead of the 3 that they had expanded.
Well, let's
into.
Be fair. They got to be huge successes.
Which, well,
which they will.
Yeah. They will be.
They will. They will. I mean, at first I thought, okay, when I heard this news, okay, you're going to bank on kind of the Harry Potter brand to sell these. And sure, there may be some kids that don't see it, or they go in expecting to see more of the Harry Potter style of things, but what they get is different and maybe even a little darker, the way this is kind of shaping out to be story-wise. So that might be a little bit of a detractor, but overall, I don't think it's going to hurt it much. It's just not. It's a huge thing.
What I appreciate about what they did is they didn't call it, you know,
a Fantastic Beasts
and Where to Find Them, a Harry Potter story, or
yeah.
Harry Potter Presents, or like, yeah. You know. They called it Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. And
I agree.
If you're a Harry Potter fan, you understand that that means something.
Yes.
But it's not like, okay, we need to capitalize on the Harry Potter name. They're like,
yes,
we're just going to show you the world. We're going to show you the thing. You're going to understand that this is in that world. Yeah. And
right.
You know what's funny?
Which is excellent.
It probably it probably confuses people less.
Yeah.
Like, the way Star Wars is doing it, that, like, I had two conversations today with two people that work in our office. Like, they're like, so now, is this not a Star Wars sequel? And I had to explain to them, yeah. Well, it's not part of the Skywalker saga. It's not part of the episodes.
Yeah.
But it leads into one of them.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, there seems to be that confusion where people are like, so wait, where does this fall? So this comes before A New Hope?
Because they were telling me, like, so it's like episode 3.5. I'm like, I wouldn't call it that. I would call it more like
3.9.
It takes place
exactly.
It takes place a couple weeks before A New Hope.
Because I think I really do believe the movie is literally going to lead to them handing the plans, maybe not to Princess Leia, but to one of her agents. Like, get this to the princess.
They
type
will
thing.
Be yeah. transmitted to her ship or to the person who transmits.
Yeah, and they're all going to fucking die. They're all going to fucking die. Yeah. Every single one of them.
Maybe, but let's save that because we have another one for that. Sorry. So back to Fantastic Beasts. I'm going to rein it in. Back to Fantastic Beasts.
5 movies. My initial reaction was crap. And then I thought about it and I'm like, yeah.
Because
it gives them way more room to tell a much bigger story, which I think will culminate in the ultimate wizarding duel between Dumbledore and Grindelwald.
Agreed. We will get to see that. This is...
And it's gonna simmer. They're not going to be in a rush to get to it. You know, they don't have to... Make sure you understand all of this by the end of the second movie. Like, the World War II or Wizard War II or whatever you want to call it doesn't have to break out until the fourth movie or the end of the third movie. You know, you can take your time building this up. Like, it's going to be bubbling in the background of one.
It should parallel World War II in that World War II didn't start right away either. I mean, it was simmering under the surface, and then one event, you know, one assassination kind
that
of...
That was World War One.
That was... Oh, wait, that was World War One. I'm sorry.
No.
Sorry. Yeah. Getting my World Wars confused.
Of the Archduke Franz
Ferdinand. Yes, sorry. But
which
no,
is a crazy fucking story.
It is a crazy story.
That I won't go into because I want to write a movie about it, but...
Okay. We should discuss that sometime.
It is an insane fucking story.
Because I took a whole class about that. But clearly, I didn't remember
World War II, the setup for World War II was in the, I believe it's the Treaty of Versailles, at the end of World War I.
Yeah.
And the restitution that Germany had to pay to everybody else led to the conditions that allowed Hitler to rise to power.
Right. That and them... them
and it took a long time.
Look how that happened.
Them printing money. They printed too much money, and they overdid that. And then it devalued their money.
Hitler was then democratically elected, and the people are like, become the chancellor. And he's like, okay. Kill everybody.
They made me chancellor.
Sorry, yeah. Stole but a line I mean, from the it's, producers there.
You know, he was elected in like 33.
Yeah.
So that's 6 years before, you know, the war really starts.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think
eight years before we even got in it.
My favorite, the favorite.
And we would have gotten it if it hadn't been the Japanese.
I did see. Speaking of World War II, sorry, to go on a complete tangent.
I love
this
World
amazing
War
II. Tweet about
history, man.
About comparing people who are like, if Trump wins, I'm going to move to Canada,
uh-huh.
And it was like, yeah, there were people in Germany who said, if Hitler wins, I move into Poland, and it didn't work out too well for them.
Trump's going to invade Canada. I knew it.
Well, yeah, Mexico's got the wall, so it's the only direction it can go. But, yeah, I'm excited to sort of see them tell what I hope is this really big World War II wizard story. The story of Grindelwald and Dumbledore.
During that time, the 20s, right? Like, right after
it's,
the war.
It's the, again, his sort of Grindelwald, and they say a line in the trailer, his attacks in Europe have started at this point.
Yeah.
And he and Dumbledore have had their falling out already.
Yeah.
And so I think Newt Scamander is going to sort of stumble into something that turns out to be way bigger than him. And
which he's kind of set on his path already by Dumbledore.
Yeah.
In a way. So, you know, it'll circle back around and we'll get some. Yeah. I think that'll be awesome. The way they're doing this, it's almost like, to use another analogy, since Moorhead's not here. It's like they're taking...
Analogy by Potter.
Oh, I like it.
Don't say it until we hear an analogy.
What they're doing is almost like if you took the appendices for Lord of the Rings and some of the books of the history of Middle Earth, and you linked those together to make a five movie world expansion kind of thing, and told one singular story, like a through. There's one overarching thing that happens through the five movies, but that's how you bring in all of these different characters and expand your world and show that to people visually. That's what they're doing with Harry Potter.
I think one of the biggest reasons they're doing this, or I should say, one of the biggest reasons J.K. Rowling is doing this, is because she wants to write screenplays. And she's doing something here where she's not writing it by herself, obviously. But she's writing without having source material. She doesn't have her books. It's just
She
wrote because she wrote movies. She wrote a play, and now she's writing.
My sense of her is that she just loves this universe. Like she doesn't need to do this for the money. This is not a money thing. She has
she's one of the richest people in the world.
Yeah. And she gives a shit ton of it away.
She's just a wonderful woman.
Because if you look at Pottermore, like...
I love
that
site.
It's not like anybody pays to get Pottermore. And she releases so much information about so many characters and little things. Like, I can go find out what house I'm in Ilvermorny, the American
Version
of Hogwarts.
Yeah.
And you can find out about it. She's got a whole... free like thing that talks about the founding of Ilvermorny.
I got
and like the family that founded it, and it's awesome, and it's just sitting there for free because she loves this world and wants to just live in it and fill out as much as she can.
Did you guys do the house sorting and the Patronus on Pottermore yet?
Yes. I don't think
I wasn't very excited with my
Patronus. Yet,
I wasn't very excited with my Patronus, although I don't remember what it is now. I want to say it's like a jackrabbit or something. But I got sorted into my second choice in houses, though. I got sorted into Slytherin.
Nice. So, okay.
I got Gryffindor.
I will always be Gryffindor.
I believe, if I remember right, my Patronus was like either a bird or a cat. I don't remember for sure.
Nimbly, bimbly.
Then my wand was 9 inches.
No.
Elderwood.
There's a wand in there, too?
Unicorn tail.
Commentating for something?
Unicorn heartstring or whatever it is you use for a unicorn. I don't know.
Right. That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, anyway, that's cool.
My wand.
We're gonna nerd out about wands.
Well, I still want to go to Universal. I mean, I've been to the Universal thing, but I want to buy a. I want to get a wand at Ollivander's because I want to be able to use it in the park.
Yeah.
So, although somebody told me that they hold the wand chooses you thing doesn't happen for everybody.
No, it doesn't. It's like they pick somebody out of the group. It's like a group at a time, and they pick somebody.
Why the hell would I wait a half hour in that line just to not have the wand choose me? Anyway.
Because if you did, you'd be waiting for 5 hours in that line.
Yeah, good call.
Yeah.
Good call.
It's a fair point.
What you need to do is go on a Tuesday.
At like 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah, like 11 in the morning.
Yep.
I don't have a pass there. I should get one.
I do.
They still doing the buy one, get one, year free? No. Anyway.
No, they're not.
We're ramped, but yeah, I figured they weren't anymore.
Sort of winding down here, I think. Do we want to talk about Star Wars?
Are we done with the Fantastic Beasts? Did we finish? I think we mentioned everything that was
going to
be in there.
Yeah, well, the only other thing we can talk about is that there's Colin Farrell's character is probably going to be a bad guy eventually.
Well, we know
maybe.
No, yeah, I think I talked about that last time we talked about
it.
He's about.
I didn't know John Voight was in it. Speaking of which.
Yeah.
Speaking of John Voight, my roommate got to see the movie 2 days ago at that fan event.
Oh.
And because Voight's in it and she's Voight's publicist. So,
man.
We won't get into it too much, but I told her, you should never introduce me to John Voight.
Yeah. What did she think of the movie, though?
She loved the movie.
Okay,
she loved it. She said she can't wait to see it again. So I was like, it's still a month away.
Yeah.
Over a month, actually. Because Doctor Strange comes out first, right? And then Fantastic Beasts, like, the next week?
Sure.
I think so.
It's near Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I think it's that Thanksgiving week, which is, it's going to do gangbusters.
It's going to blow out all of the records.
Yeah.
Maybe not all of them, but
not Episode 8.
No. If he's talking about the Thanksgiving records, you're probably right.
Yeah.
Twilight is the holder, I think, right now. So.
Oh, God, I want it to beat Twilight so bad.
I think it will.
Ugh.
I mean,
I think Twilight wants it to beat Twilight.
You're right.
Yeah.
Oh.
They're over it. Okay, so then we're going to wrap this up, and we're going to, and hopefully you guys tune in to the next pod, which is Escape Pod, which will probably go up the same time as this one does. I am Daniel Villalobos.
I'm Joshua Potter.
I am Kyle Bown.
We'll see you in a moment.
Thanks for listening. If you want more from the nerds, check us out on the intertubes at thewaywenerd.com. And if you haven't already, you should follow us on Facebook and Twitter at thewaywenerd, and subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Until next week, this is The Way We Nerd.